Accession number 28773, reel 4.
Later on, from, well, I would say it was about 1944, because before things became more plentiful. And that is when America came into the war, and some of the colonies, Canada, would have supplied battle dresses. New Zealand and that would have supplied battle dresses, you know, for the troops. But for a wee while, uniforms were very good, bad to get, and you were running a trampish manner, really.
And so by this point, well, were you kind of in army uniform more so than the TA uniform?
Oh, no, well, it's still the same uniform, still wore your kilt and your tunic, you know, your tunic you had with the brass buttons. We hadn't been issued with a battle dress at this point. When did the... Oh, that's right. After Dunfermline and the retreat from France had, you know, come into full force, we were able to accommodate some of the retreating soldiers who were coming safe. We had a unit, you know, already established. So that was a base for some soldiers to come to. The depot at Aberdeen was another place, mainly Gordon Highlanders who had escaped from France. That was the place where they came to. And in early June, after the move, the retreat from Dunkirk, we moved up to Haddon House and were billeted in the woods of Haddon House. And I mean in the woods, you know, we wanted shelter from aircraft at this time. So we had and our form of training, we had to adopt a different style of training, going out, sleep during the day and keep awake at night and do your training at night. You know, just a new form of getting used to the active service type of work. So
were you in Dunfermline long?
I went down, say, October, November. Oh, it could have been 6 months.
And were you allowed out
to... Oh, yes, at night. If you weren't on guard, any duties, you could go, and your kit was cleaned and things like that, you could go out, yes. And the mule works was in the centre of Dunfermline, no, it was in the town of Dunfermline. It wasn't a way out at, no, in the country. Even Pittencrieff Park was... Oh, well, fairly near enough in the town of Dunfermline, you know. So.
And could you ever get home at weekends or anything?
No. You require a pass to get away. Like, train service, that's what you could have gone, but unless you got a pass, you didn't go, you know.
And were you able to keep in contact with your parents?
Yeah, well, you could write a letter to them. Well, telephone-wise, no. No, there were no telephones or anything. Like what I was today, no.
And do you remember how you felt about hearing that the 6th Battalion, as you knew it, and others of the Gordons had been
captured
at Dunkirk?
Yes. Well, they just said, oh, things are getting hot. We better be prepared to stand up and fight ourselves, you know, because it's coming near of us, you know. So that's, I think they just took it. Oh, well, we'll have to go and fight too, you know. So.
Was there a certain age for men going overseas?
Yeah, 18. If you're 18 and over, that was the accepted age, you know, for people within the rules of things, you know. Well, we had, as I said, some blokes who cheated themselves, you know, and were slightly younger than 18. But the rule was that the official ruling was 18. And 40, over 40, then he was considered a bit old for overseas. So that exempted you. Between that age group, 18 to 40, was what they call fighting men for the age.
And do you remember where you were when you heard about Dunkirk?
Oh, yeah, well, I think we were still in Dunfermline then. But, yeah, that's right, we were preparing to move up to Haddon House.
And had you been in the Hado house before?
No, no. Well, sometimes they were set out the outstations. Although I never went to one. I'll mention Duff House, you know, when it was called up the tariff. Well, it was used as the keeping, as a prisoner's camp, keeping prisoners, internees, you know, and potential spies for the saboteurs against the British army, the British people. So Duff House was used as one, and a fair number of blokes went down there for, to be guards at Duff House. Another place was Eden House near Mintlaw. It was used as a billet, you know, for not an overflow, but just keeping troops in the country and that. So that's another example of people being moved about. That's the ones I can think of. Again, in different parts of the country, big houses were used either as billets, or another one, Dunfield, way up in near the Yard Forest, you know, where the troops were under control and kept a fairly reasonable fighting group, but they were dispersed, you know, so that either a bomb attack or even an invasion, you know, they were prepared that they'll fight in a different fashion.
And like the people you were speaking about in Duff House, did that happen quite early on in the war?
It did. You could take, well, quite a lot of Italian people working in the country, you know, the chip shops, ice cream shops, you know, and all these, they were all gathered then. They were potential spies, you know, because Italy was part of, they committed the war, and that, and they were part of the Axis, what they called the Axis group, you know, Nazi Germany and fascist Italians. So that is the reason for them, and that's the guys that were rounded up. They were later, but later on they were released, but for a wee while, and a lot of them were genuine British citizens, you know, but they were all, they didn't like it. And I suppose I would have been the same had it happened to me.
And, like, where you came from, Turriff, I would imagine that it was mostly Scottish people there, but do you remember having, like, Italians there before?
Oh, yes, that's right. Like, the one that went to school with me, well, there was a family, Joseph Reedy, that is the family name, Joe, and he had a son, Joe, and he had two daughters. Well, Joe and the other, his elder sister, both went to the same school as me, you know. And I'll tell you a story about, well, what I think was Joe Cipriani. After being called up in 1940, I was in Egypt at the time, you know, and at the Battle of Alamein, we had captured a lot of Italian prisoners, Italians were captured, and they were, this huge, long column, they were escorted by South African soldiers, South Africans, and armored cars. And as I saw this column passed where I was standing, and I'm sure Joe, little Joe, was amongst them. But I was too frightened to see anything because these South Africans would have bumped me off or get me, don't speak to them. I never really found out. By this time, you know, the war had started, that family had moved out of Turriff back to Italy. See? And that is why Joe, the one who went to school, with, found himself in the Italian army. Later on, after the war had finished, this father, Joseph Reedy, came back to Turriff, or just for a look around. But no one took him on. Well, no one that I saw seemed to accept him as such, you know. It was still this, you're Italian, you were against us, you know, so I'm not speaking to you. So he never did come back, and Joseph, well, whatever happened to Joseph, really, I don't know, but he probably stayed in Italy too. Did the offset, the things that you see happening. But that is a part of the Italian family life at that time. Chip shop, ice cream, you know, buy a carpenter, I said the creamer.
And was that the type of thing that this gentleman had done?
Yes, right. Oh. Well, he was at school with me. He, just like every other family, he'd help out in the family business, you know. Ice cream, chocolate, They were thinking, you know, George, what is true? And that greasy Joe or something. But you get the nicknames. So.
And do you think it had been quite soon after the war that the father had been?
Yes, it was. I didn't know, but I remember thought, oh, my father, there's another local man older than, oh, I've been same as my father, older. Said, I see Joe Supreme's back here. I said, oh, yeah. But I did get a glimpse of him once. Like, I wasn't a party. I would not like it. Go up and say, well, Joe, how you doing? Things like that, you know. If you passed him the street, fair enough. But I never did pass him in the street, you know. But they just said he'd come back, but be there maybe a fortnight or a week, you see. And of course, the other Italian, he would have stayed, but they'd been released from the prison by this time and back in their, no, their old shops.
And were they accepted, okay, the ones who had stayed?
Yes. Oh, there was a wee bit of, what would you say, resentment, you know, towards them. But apart from that, they get on, they had a shop, they made the ice cream, they sold fags, which was a short supply, you know, and they would sell their bags of fags. If not, they were just saying, cigarettes, no, no. So, that's not, just a normal life, the way life goes on, you know. No one committed hang themselves or things like that, you know, just went on with life, maybe throw a stone at them or through the window.
You mentioned you were being sent up to Haddo House.
Yes.
Can you describe Haddo House to those who don't know?
Well, it's an estate in Aberdeen, you know, one of the landed gentry, shall we say, a big house, you know, with a lot of land, with farms and on it, you know. And the slant. But we went up to the centre, up to the big house, you know, and although we weren't within, we were scattered out in the area, you know, we have dispersed, again, to prevent us from attacks from the air. And we were in the wood itself, so that we weren't, you know, camouflaged a bit from the air. And had to walk round about the edge of the wood rather than across open fields, leaving traps, etc. So that is, the house was kept, some of the family still lived in the house, so therefore it wasn't out of bounds to the soldiers, you know. Some of the officers' headquarters would have been headquartered in some of the outbuildings, you know. And mainly that was it. We also had received a new commanding officer, Alec Buchanan Smith, you know, the MP of Armour. His father, Lord Balerno, and he'd come from France, and all was full of the house who we should train, you know, having experienced war at first hand and how the Germans operated. So we got, a harsher form of living, you know, living in the woods, training, sleep by day, train by night, you know, that form to get fit.
And had he been at Dunkirk?
No, he had been, got away before Dunkirk, you know. He had command of the 5th, 7th in France, but he'd been, you know, a chief of command, and he left to take over the command of the 9th Battalion. So that is, but he had active service experience.
And had you known of Haddo House before you went there?
No. But he heard the name in law, but I'd never been to Haddo House, no. These sort of places were out of bounds, even to the casual, no, not, if you didn't work in the estate, then it was out of bounds to, you know, the normal civilian.
And was there a serious threat of air attack at that time?
Oh, yes, there had been one or two air attacks over the country, you know, not serious ones, in Aberdeen or that, but there had been that once. And again, the threat of invasion started to become more of a likelihood.
And was there ever any planes went over Haddo?
Oh, I think there was. They would have heard them at night, you know, the drone. I can't say that I saw a plane at that particular time.
And, you know, what time of the year were you at Haddo?
Oh, this would have been June, July, August, and then went up to Orkney. I left them at this time period and went to Inverurie, a place in Inverurie we thought.
Now, when you were in the woods in Haddo as well, did you have tents or anything?
No, we were living sometimes in the open air. I can't think we would have. We had ground sheets, and you could adapt them to make a small bivouac, a two-man bivouac. So I think that's what we used as a, in case it rained and that. So, but no, we don't have any big tents, just in the woods itself. And again, we did away with what they call barrack room inspection, because they don't barrack room at that time. So that's it.
And this, was it bivouac?
Bivouac, yeah.
Like a tent?
Yes, it's just a small tent, two sides, but you had to crawl in to get into them, They were a bit awkward, but not too comfortable, but it did keep you, in a sense, dry,
Was it not a bit rough?
A bit rough, it was, yes. Mm-hmm.
And so what was the type of clothing you were wearing as well?
I remember we had to hand our kilt in there when we went to have a house, and we were getting issued with bottle dress, stuff. But I do remember handing our kilt and the kilt.
And was it warm enough living in that condition?
Well, the summertime, so it wasn't really, being wet and damp sometimes.
Do you remember how you found it, when you had to try and sleep through the day?
That's a bit difficult, yes. We found that you didn't actually sleep. No, you really tried to. You're told to, it's bedtime time at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. But you weren't feeling like sleeping, so. You didn't sleep much, but then it came at night, and you had to keep awake. But after a few days like that, you did get the change over. He did fall asleep during the day when he had to sleep, But for the first couple of days, by the way, I don't need to sleep. Gradually it got the better of him.
What did you do during the night?
Well, he'd have done some hard one to answer. I think we went out and moving around the there in that, someone would have been guarding an imaginary the area, and you had to go and attack it or break through without them knowing you were there. So it's things like that. That's the sort of thing you did. Kind of escape an invasion exercise, we call it. You were awake trying to look after this, and you were trying to get through the lines, So that's the sort of thing. It is a bit, I wouldn't say it's a howling success, but worked away with it until they finally, we'll give it up, we'll stop their sleeping the day, we'll revert back to normal living.
And did your body accept going back?
Yes, it did. As I said, it was a great success. Sometimes it affects your indigestion things, You got heartburn of eating it, when you used to be sleeping or something. And that, so you had that upset heartburn. Plus other people may have, other bodily functions and then it just worked right. So overall, it wasn't, as I said, a great idea.
And how did you manage to keep yourself clean in a wood? Was a toilet facility or something?
Well, no, you had a bucket and spade. You had a spade and you would have dug either a trench, for it, or your own particular dog. But usually, there's a lot of people in the same area, and all your trench is the best area, so that you know which area was, foul ground, or which is clean ground. So I think we use a slight thunder boxes for the music pressure. Again, that is common practice in farms, you had the dry privies or something, and a box. So therefore, the trench was not something that you had to get used to. You'd been used to before.
And And what about washing yourself too?
Well, yeah. Well, there was a ditch or a burn running through the wood. So you got, again, they hardly had basins, you know, I think basins. So you know, going down to the burn, you know, going to fill this with water. And that's what they used to wash for washing and shaving. And even getting yourself a sort of a shower, you would have used that. When we were at Dunfermline to get back, the showers, there was a swimming pool at Dunfermline. So we were there for a weekly bath or something, you know, there were showers. I'd had a house and we didn't have that. So that meant that we didn't shower or bathe as often. But you would have washed them. Shaved and that, and given maybe your upper body or your lower half, just that sort of rinse, you know, like a dry, maybe what they call a bed shampoo nowadays.
And what about food? You know, your food
at home? Oh, yes, well, we had cooks, so where the big house was in the stables, after the big where the cookhouse was, so we marched up to. Marched along to the cookhouse and got fed there. That's how the feeding was done at Hadda House.
And with the army cooks who were
doing? Army cooks, yes. Most have been called up along with you, you know. A lot of them liked going to the cookhouse, saving, doing all this drill and training, etc. Took an easier job, you know, so they thought that. So you got blocks that. A chap who was a baker or something, a natural boy for the cook. As it being a cook.
And
you know.
How was the food? Was it good?
Oh, it varied. I wouldn't say, no, a lot of times you didn't eat it.
So what did you do for food then?
Well, you just did without. Maybe sometimes you used to get a breakfast, you'd have got porridge, maybe a bit of bacon. And sometimes bacon would, as it's provided, you know, bacon was quite good, you know. So, and maybe got a good helping of it. So I would have made a couple of bacon sandwiches and say, and took them back and had them, well, there was no naffy or such, but either tea bake or something, but even a sandwich, a bacon sandwich, no, it went quite well. So if you didn't get a good meal at the midday meal, you could have, well, this sandwich just helped peace out. Sometimes it's sweet or too bad, you know, if you got rice or rice pudding, you know. A spotted dog with a sort of dumpling with raisins in it. So you got things like that. Anyway, but if you did like it, you didn't eat it, you know, you did without. So there was no alternative for you. You know, you don't like it, well, do without. So that's what you did. Get used to it again.
And was there any form of recreation at Hadda House?
No, not really. No, you would have gone maybe finished your training or that. Again, clean up your kit and things like that. You'd go for a wander just in the country, you know, like a walk at night in the summertime. And Darvis would have been the nearest place that had a maybe meth lick. But that was a bit. And again, they didn't like too many troops or wandering over the place. So, you were kind of restricted in your movements, you know, but nothing could have been. Old Melvin was a good bit, you know, for an evening walk to get to, and Rudy was a bit further. So Tarvis and Merthyr, I think, would have been, probably did walk to Tarvis and Merthyr, you know, just to see if like a place of, well, you'd never been to them, so just.
And is there any female company behind you or anything?
No. Again, maybe a weekly dance at Tardis or the Methlick, you know, and some of the quines, you know, the country quines working in the farms, the skipper of the kitchen maids and that, they would have gone. So that would have been, you'd have gone there and they'd been quite happy to see you, and they may not, you know. So that is the sort of social life that you had there.
And would it have been like Scottish country dancing, or would it have been?
Yes, that. Well, you had a bit of ballroom dancing, you know, a foxtrot, a waltz, and things like that. But you would have done a little real slip the willow, yes. That, yeah.
And And did the local men accept it? Or was there local men?
Yes, well, that's what I thought. Well, they spoke the same language, you know. You could speak and say if it like the men, and you had a new feed, things like that, you know. Oh, I had it blue at Ochmel or somewhere, you know. Like, so over the rest, oh, they would have had resentment, yes. Tough, you know. Someone would start a fight, you know. It niggled you, the fight, you know. You boys think of tough, you know, harder. So there was the occasional one that overall you got on quite well with them, you know. Or maybe try to pinch maybe a local lad's girlfriend, you know, and perhaps she was quite willing to go with the surgeon. But I've gone, you know, but like it is, you know, a boy fancies one girl, you know, the two men, let's have a go. And you can't deny it.
And was a soldier's wages higher than like a
plowman? No. Well, soldiers got paid weekly, whereas if the farmer's servant was paid 6 monthly, or he would have got an advance, but well, I suppose 7 bob a week would have been more than the farm servant had, either a job of the same age, or the barely had. Like, the older farm servant was settled, things like he'd been married, quartered house and so on. But the young farm servant, I mean, third horseman, second horseman, or a loon, they'd have been young lads, you know, and fairly, oh, I'm fit to you, I'll take you on.
And was there still that type of life on the farm? Like,
yeah, there was. Oh, yeah, it was, that would have been common at that time. You'd had a degree. Would have been like a foreman, you know, here on the manager, and then they'd really, the one after the cattle, a reasonable sign. And then they'd first horseman, second horseman, you know, one had a pair of horse, you know, and they had the, each one had their own rank, you know, and down to the order loop. He just got it all. He couldn't tell anyone that he could bark at a dog. But overall, the order learned that had a beef and he was still.
It just sounds so different.
The catchy dean, you see. Well, she would have wanted, she'd have had life tea again. She'd have got up in the morning, get the kettle, the pot on, the fire, set the fire, get the thing boiling, make the porridge or the brews, you know, for the lads. And then clean up afterwards.
What did you call her?
The catchy dean.
Is that kitchen dame or a kitchen
dame? Well, a kitchen, like, it's a maid, be the kitchen maid, you know. But a dame, you know, that is a name given to a lady, you know, the kitchen dame. And the dean, that is just a dialect name, you know, a kitchen dame, you know. Just a kitchen maid, really.
Uh-huh.
That's,
So that's,
yes. Yeah,
so. Sounds good. And so were you sent to Inverurie after this?
Oh, for a while I went to Inverurie, and then they went up to Orkney, you know.
And what were you doing at Inverurie?
Well, it was just a sort of outstation, you know, with the various training, and we were billeted in the hall at Inverurie, you know, with the, again, same type of accommodation, just a big hall, and we had this, what they call the three boats, and two trestles to sleep on, you know.
Was it comfortable?
He got used to it, you know, the thing. It was quite comfortable, yes, he got, and Inverurie is far better than sleeping in the woods. You had a better roof above your head, you had clean, well, the toilet facility are limited in a way in the hall, and you got up dry and it was quite warm, you know, and it drove out. So, yes, a big improvement in the woods at Haddo, yeah.
Is that in
Inverurie
Town Hall?
Yes, Inverurie Town Hall, yeah.
And were you there for long?
No. Oh, I think a month or so. And then, so that is that part.
Okay, well.
That'll do. Yes, that'll do there.